The word that is sometimes used to describe this is the oikoumene, the commonwealth, the shared world. And if we think in those terms, really what we're getting in Crete is the farthest Western expression of a style of culture and civilization based on international trade and an export of ideas as well as objects that links Mesopotamia, Syria, Egypt, the entire Levant or Eastern Mediterranean, and Crete. We see, I think, some of the best evidence for this, not just on Crete itself, but on the island of Thera. And we'll be talking more about that in another lecture, because Thera is going to become very important for our explanations of what happened to the Cretans. But on the island of Thera, what we fairly clearly have is a society that is closely linked to Crete. Was it a Cretan colony? Or is it an indigenous society that is heavily influenced by Crete? Well, it's hard to answer that exactly. But what we can see on this island, in the objects found here, and particularly in the wall paintings found on Thera, is that this island was part of a Cretan network, a trade network and a cultural network. Now, the reason I emphasize this is, I think, quite important. Some of the more fantastic explanations of Cretan power and culture have pointed to the fact that in Crete we do not find, generally speaking, walls around the palaces. Now think about this for a moment. You live in a world where there are marauders and pirates, and you choose not to build walls around your palace, you're making quite a statement of your power. And so in the past, people have sometimes said, oh, this is conclusive evidence that we have here a peace-loving culture, a culture of feminine power that didn't feel the need to build walls around, to be militaristic and to protect its cities. In fact, I would suggest the explanation is quite different. It is that the defense of Crete was not on Cretan soil. It was out there in the islands. The defense of Crete came with its naval power. And I would point out to you that, for example, that's exactly what the Greeks of hundreds of years later remembered about Minoan Crete, that it had been remarkable for the strength of its naval power. Thucydides says, Minos was the first to build a great fleet. And in that, I think what we're getting is some memory of the fact that the Cretans didn't need to defend their own soil throughout most of their history, because for most of the time they could defend it with their fleets sailing out around the Eastern Mediterranean and the Aegean. There's one other aspect of Crete that I want to discuss briefly, and I think this is something that we might want to keep in mind during some of the future lectures. One of my abiding interests is the question of how do we know what we claim to know about a particular culture? And Minoan Crete is particularly instructive in that respect, because this is one place where we can say quite definitively we owe everything almost to one man. His name is Sir Arthur Evans. Evans was a journalist who had travelled around the Eastern Mediterranean, and while in Greece and on Crete, he was shown certain pieces of clay with glyphs, writing on them, that had not been translated. And fascinated by these tablets, he tried to find where they'd been found, and he then went, and in the good practice of the late 19th, early 20th century, he bought the land where they'd been found, and then shortly after, he set an excavation team to work. The site from which these tablets came, and which he partially purchased and then excavated, is Knossos, the type site that we've been considering in everything that we have to say about the palatial culture of Minoan Crete. And we owe most of what we know about Minoan Crete and Knossos in particular to the work of this one man, Sir Arthur Evans, a monumental intellect and a monumental influence on the archaeology of the Bronze Age. Within days of beginning the excavations, his workmen were turning up hundreds of tablets in a script, which unfortunately, I have to say, is still not substantially translated, Linear A. I want to make a few points about Schliemann and about the kind of archaeology that he was doing, because we need, I think, to keep these in mind. Evans' discoveries are good examples of 19th century and early 20th century archaeology at work. Like Schliemann, at Troy and at Mycenae and like Layard at Nineveh.